Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Albert Einstein said, "Scientists investigate that which already is. Engineers create that which has never been." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest whose company brings vision to life through innovative engineering solutions. Today's Playmaker leads with clear communication. With us today is a CEO whose company began with 3 employees and has grown to more than 80 employees with 3 offices. This great Playmaker is Stuart Markison. Stuart is CEO of RLG. Now, upon joining RLG in 1996 as the manager of the civil engineering and surveying departments, Stuart gained a wealth of valuable knowledge for working on fast-track design-build projects. RLG is known for client-centered engineering solutions, innovations, precision, and a reverence for the impact their creations have on each city they inhabit. For more than 65 years, RLG has been recognized as one of the top engineering firms in Texas. Since RLG's inception in 1953 with 3 employees, the company has grown to more than 80 employees and serves more than 250 clients annually across 3 offices in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Peoria, Illinois. For more than 35 years, Stuart has fostered teams to approach project designs by incorporating clear communication with the project owner and contractor in order to create constructible designs. After only 2 years with RLG, Stuart joined the firm's ownership group as a principal shareholder. Stuart now serves as RLG's Chief Executive Officer. Well, Stuart, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, I understand your family used to move about every 4 years when you were growing up. Did those moves have an impact on your family values and your need to develop and sustain your friendships?
Yeah, it did. It taught a lot about family, because when you do move, it's your family that goes with you, and that is sort of your roots and your basis. From there, you learn to develop new relationships, new friends become new opportunities, and as a kid growing up, it seemed tough, but as an adult looking back at it, it seems like it was something that was really worthwhile and meant a lot to us.
Well, I'm sure that as you learned that has helped you as a professional too.
It has. I've changed jobs a couple times from the day I got out of college. We had the real estate bust back in the 80s, which made everybody do something a little different. And coming out of school, you really thought that you had a plan on where your future and career was going to go, and you had to make some moves and do some different things. And those were opportunities that if we hadn't had the turn down, I would not have been able to do, which are key to where I think I am today.
Well, we talked before the show started as far as where you live. So tell us where you started and the route you took to get here to Dallas, Texas.
I got out of school and I started with a engineering consulting firm, very similar to RLG. It was a firm that had been in Dallas for, since 1920s, 1930s. It was very comparable. And it was me and 5 or 6 other young guys coming out of school, and we were going to take this firm to the next level. Then the savings loan real estate bust of the late 80s changed all that. I ended up going to work for a design build contractor, building refineries and doing cleanup sites. And it went sort of a national type presence, and ended up becoming their business development director, selling remedial cleanup services on major industrial facilities as well as Superfund sites.
Well, I understand that you were doing some business with RLG. Is that how you developed your association with the company?
Well, actually, I interviewed with Ray Goodson when I got out of school, and Ray told me he didn't have a position for me at the time. So when I started here in 1996, I interviewed back with the company and became on board.
So was RLG your original choice here in Dallas when you came to Dallas as a company to work for?
It was. I mean, I would love to have worked with RLG in the time. And when I worked for the firm I did work for, Pal & Pal, we were constantly competing against RLG. So we were the 2 sort of old consummate firms that had been there for a long time, had a lot of senior leadership through the Pals and through Ray Goodson. So we've seen a lot of the same type projects, same time of growth, same time of history.
Well, there's a lot of different types of engineering firms, and some specialize. So what's the scope of your services?
We do civil engineering, which is the predominant one we've done for 65 years. Back 30 years ago, David Goodson started working with his dad and opened up the structural engineering department. We also do surveying. There's probably, in the last 65 years, there's not a block in Dallas which we haven't surveyed at some point in time. We've actually got records, because when Ray Goodson opened the firm, he bought the firm Myers & Noyes, which was actually started in 1910. So we've got existing plans, records, field notes, field books, old surveys that date back to 1910.
Well, I'm looking behind you, and there is a map of Highland Park, and from just looking at it, that has got to be relatively old.
Yes, it's 1915, and that is the original ink on linen map of how they laid out Highland Park.
And at that time, that was far, far north Dallas.
It was far north Dallas.
Compared to what we see right now. Well, you have offices in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Peoria. I'll ask you about Peoria in a moment. But having offices in Dallas and Fort Worth, I would think this is one of the best places in the country to be in the engineering business. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it is. We're seeing a lot of companies move in. The population growth is going to continue to grow. Projections that they have for the next 10 years are just staggering on what's got to happen through infrastructure, through development, through housing, through office buildings, and as well as even commercial.
So do you do primarily commercial, or do you work within the residential sector also?
We do predominantly commercial. We do building structures. Most of our clients on the structural side are architects and leading architects in town. We also do a lot of municipal work in infrastructure through utility upgrades, rehab, new roadways, streets, and then on the commercial side, we also do site developments.
Well, you have an office, as I mentioned, in Peoria. Why Peoria?
Yeah, people ask that. We had, 10 years ago, we had a gentleman we brought on and moved down here from Illinois who was going to be, or is, one of our upcoming leaders. He, because of family reasons, needed to move back to Peoria. And he was going to leave the firm, or we were going to open up a Peoria office, and that's what we decided to do. So Mike McLaren, is our Peoria operator, and he handles most of our national account stuff. So whether he's flying out of Peoria to the East Coast or West Coast, or flying out of Dallas, really doesn't make that much difference. So we're creating that office, and that he handles our national accounts as well as our Northwest.
So he really could be anywhere.
He could be anywhere.
And it also sounds like being here in Dallas, Fort Worth, you're almost in the center of the United States with one of the best airports in the United States. You can go anywhere.
Yeah, that is convenient. And that's one of the reasons why Dallas and the Fort Worth area are going to continue to be strong in this economy.
Well, let me ask you about the culture. Now, you've been with this company since 1996, but you knew about it prior to joining the company. How has the company culture changed, and what impact have you had on the culture here?
The culture is very important. Being an old historical firm in town, you try to, a lot of times, hold on to, you know, this is the way we used to do it. This is the way we used to operate. This is how we got where we are. You can't do that nowadays. So we had a sort of a look back at ourselves, did an employee survey, went through and tried to find out what's important to the employees. And what we found, we really didn't like. So what we ended up having to do is we went through it. Now we've made it more employee related, and the culture on the employee is so important, and that's one of the things that we work real hard on.
So probably the best thing you did was do that employee survey to find out exactly where you were.
It was. We kept, you know, there were several people in the firm that kept, well, they're lying. That's not correct. That's not the way they really feel. And, you know, once you get past that and realize what it is and open it up to the employee, it is a family-owned business, or has been. It operates like a family. Ray Goodson started it, and David Goodson is still our chairman of the board. You know, people at work here have got to come in every day and enjoy what they do and who they work with. So you got to create the social environment within the firm so that they've got relationships and connections, and it's not just a place to come and punch the clock and work your 8 hours and get out.
Well, I had mentioned a couple of times in the opening about your clear communication. So how does your leadership style fit in with that and the culture of the company?
Well, one of the things we did is trying to take it from a top-down management where we've got five or six principals that are controlling everything and opening it up to our staff. We, you know, part of our leadership goal is to take our project engineers and train them to be project managers, to train those project managers to be company leaders. So as we walk up the line, we're creating our own leaders within the firm. You know, in order to do that, though, you've got to take your hands off. You've got to give them the tools. You've got to give them the responsibility and make them accountable for it. And by doing that, they learn to grow. And through that growth is where we're coming up with our leaders.
Well, let's go back a little bit, then we'll come forward. You went to school at Texas Tech in Lubbock.
Correct.
Why engineering?
Well, when I got out of school, or when I out of high school, trying to figure out what my major is going to be, you know, I liked construction. I'd actually worked a little construction through high school, and figured civil engineering was probably the one engineering that probably got me the closest to construction. I thought I wanted to be a structural engineer, and when I graduated, got into the civil, and I actually, it was a good choice. There's more contact with city officials through planning, through zoning, through different types of projects that you've got to be more client-oriented, more municipally oriented, and a little less just technical design beams and columns.
Then it sounds to me that you've gone from being an engineer to really developing relationships to sell your services.
That's correct. It's when during the time of the when I went to work for the design build contractor doing environmental work, and it was in charge of business development. I had a guy that was my business development coordinator up in the Pacific Northwest, and I'd go on cold calls with him. And the first 5 minutes of the meeting, he would figure out to try to find a relationship between the person we're visiting with and somebody he knew. So within 5 minutes, he'd figured out that, you know, the guy's aunt used to live down the street from him or something. And it's that 6-point of connection that all of a sudden, you know, halfway through the meeting, that was old home week. So that's one of the things that I have realized. And really, it's not so much the people you're dealing with. It's where they are, who they come from, and how they got there.
There's a number of engineering firms out there, and I'm sure they're all real good, but they do business with people, not with a company. And apparently that's what you figured out and you've built on with RLG, is that correct?
That's absolutely. You build on relationships with your clients, you build on your relationships with the city officials we got to deal with, you build on relationships you have with your staff.
Well, apparently that's working because as I read in the introduction, you serve more than 250 clients annually, and you couldn't do that without developing the relationships and having the repeat business for them coming back to you.
Yes, and one of the key successes with clients is finding out and truly understanding what their expectations are. You know, anybody can, you know, our services are not the engineering product that we produce. The services are filling their expectations to get to the end game where it needs to go. So if it's a new development, it's getting to the end and everybody being satisfied and happy with what was created.
Well, we talked about the relationship piece of it, but you also have a management degree in addition to your engineering degree. How has that been a benefit to you?
Well, it opened up my eyes to different parts of the business. When I got out of school and started working for a consulting firm, I realized that there's probably 70% of the class and technical stuff that they taught in school that I wasn't using, and that the company I was with was more of a small business than it was a truly technical engineering firm. So in desiring to go back to get additional schooling, I decided that the MBA was probably the one that would provide me the most knowledge outside of what I typically already had.
Did you get that once you started working here? Or prior to coming over to RLG?
I got that 5 years after I got out of school. Before I had kids, went to night school and did it at night.
So in essence, you were moving that direction.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Well, there's a number of niches in engineering, in civil engineering, and I understand you work a lot with educational healthcare institutions. Was that something that was designed, or did you just end up moving in that direction?
Moved in that direction, and a lot of it had to do with the company's client base. We historically have done a lot of healthcare work and have been the engineers and on several of the big hospital campuses. So once you get involved in a campus-type development, you provide the services, you know where the utilities are, you know what the issues are, you know who the client is. The same thing on education. We have been SMU's engineer for the last 40 years, and we've got files and records that go back that, you know, there's several times where they will call us to find out where their utilities are because their plant people can't find them. So but you know, if you can't provide the service and keep that, it's easy to get replaced. So,
well, you must be a great source then to all your clients, needs some of the non-clients, because you have all those records going back to, what did you say, 1910?
1910, 1915, depending on some of those.
That's amazing you have that. It's a great source for you as you're dealing with your clientele too, if nothing else, knowing where Dallas was back in the day. Well, you mentioned your people and moving them up. How do you promote those young and new leaders, and how do you develop that leadership?
Well, it's through the project management process we go through. It goes to, you know, getting them involved in writing proposals, getting them involved in setting up the pre-project format. Being able to get them make some of the early decisions that they can be held accountable for in the later. Some of them are wrong. Some of them you've got to let them wrestle with and then come back and sort of educate them on maybe a different path to take or how to look for problems before they get there.
We're speaking with Stuart Marcus. Stuart is CEO of RLG, a civil engineering firm. The website is rlginc.com. Stuart, what would you say is your number one responsibility as CEO for RLG?
Right now, finding personnel is difficult. Retaining personnel is important. Creating and manifesting the culture that we think is important for the firm and that we've worked spent a lot of energy on in the last couple of years and trying to make sure that that is recognized. You know, we've got people that do the financials. I've got people that do the HR. I got the people that do the high tech part of it. My big job is to make sure that everything comes together and works concurrently and it comes off seamless.
My guess also is that you, in addition to that, you have developed the ability to stand back and let your people do their jobs.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that is a problem that we all deal with is keeping from micromanaging, and it's real simple to do. And you know, you've got to let people go and make decisions, make mistakes, figure out how to fix it, help them along the way, but at the same time you've got to stand back and let them take those roles.
What's the future for RLG? Where do you go from here?
Well, I think there are some different market sectors that we're looking to get into. Opening up the Fort Worth office helped a lot because we've got a real strong municipal work presence out of Fort Worth. The Peoria office has a big retail national accounts component that goes with it. So we're going to continue to grow those opportunities. There may be another opportunity for another office in another city here, you know, in the next couple of years. We're keeping that open. But it's just continue to grow on what we've got and develop relationships and look for new opportunities.
Now, those new opportunities, do those come as a result of finding new business in other cities? Does that possibly move you to another major location?
It could. It may. There's plenty of opportunity here in Dallas and in Fort Worth, and there's plenty of clients we're not working with. So we are working to increase our market market share of the work that we're doing, as well as expand in other cities.
Well, going back to your background, you've lived in small towns or smaller towns than Dallas, in a rural community in Alabama, and living in Lubbock. How about your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing when you're not at RLG?
Family. My son bought a house not too far from us, and my daughter bought a house, and One of the things we enjoy is remodeling and going in and tearing walls out and refixing them so they've got something they can be proud of. I enjoy hunting. I actually enjoy building furniture. So I've started building some pieces and had a big oak tree that we lost in the front yard. And instead of having it cut up and hauled off, I had it cut in sections and hauled it off to a mill and had it milled. And now I'm making furniture out of the wood that came out of my front yard.
So how difficult is it to make furniture with oak?
It's tough. You've got to have good sharp tools. And unfortunately, I don't have the shop that I wish I had, but I've got enough that I can play with it and work with it.
So if somebody wanted to find out more about RLG, where would they go?
I'll go to our website. Our website has a list of the market sectors we work in. It has some of the history of the firm as well as who the leadership is. It has information about our other offices. So, there's quite a bit of information on the website, and we just got it up and revamped it about 6 months ago.
Well, I'm looking at the homepage of RLGINC.com, RLGINC.com. And it says, shaping cities for over 65 years. My guess with that statement is when you work with a client, you are working with that city to make sure that project fits in with everything else around it. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's got to fit the community. It's got to fit the infrastructure that's available. You've got to be able to create the infrastructure to make sure that, as nice as the building or the development may be, you got to get to it, you got to service it, and it's got to last. And then it's got to promote the growth of the neighboring communities and surroundings.
You've come out of civil engineering. You went to school at Texas Tech. What would you suggest a future civil engineer do to make their career successful?
Be open to opportunities. It's not the standard path that I go and sit in an office. I sit behind a cubicle behind a computer, and I sit there and work on my design. You've got to get more related to the people you're dealing with, the clients, the staff, the city municipalities, which are going to approve your plans. And it's about relationships. It's less about technical material than it is about relationships.
So it goes way beyond just learning how to become an engineer. It's working with people.
It is. We find some of the brightest technical people sometimes have the biggest or the most trouble trying to be successful in our profession.
Well, Stuart, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having Stuart join us. Join us again also at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.